Well, good to be with you guys this morning, and looking forward to our time walking through Colossians chapter 3 as Paul moves into how we should live in relationship to people, specifically those people in our own household, those people that we engage with night and day. And so, yeah, Eric, I definitely appreciate the prayers for a house as well. We're looking for a house as we're outgrowing ours, and we're also destroying ours with five kids. And last week, I had to get them all focused on what our vision was. It's to sell the house, not destroy the house. As I think one of them threw a ball in the house and like hit the ceiling fan or something. And I'm like, guys, we're trying to sell this. We've taken pictures. Let's leave the house in good shape, please. So got them all into the vision of selling, not destroying. So, but yeah, if you guys know of any places out there, y'all let me know. We're looking and hoping to sell ours sometime, Lord willing. So rules for Christian households. Yeah, he doesn't tell Christian households' kids to not destroy their house here, but he does tell them to obey their parents. So that falls in line. But rules for Christian households, Colossians 3, verse 18. Speaking to the wives, he says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." I'll pray one more time. Father, thank you for this, your word. Thank you that it is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Thank you that through it you sanctify us as it is truth. Thank you that it is living, that we can apply this in our lives today. I pray that you would pierce our hearts with it, that you would give our minds understanding, that I would rightly handle it, rightly divide it. And Lord, that you would be glorified as we then go and apply today and in the week ahead and in the month ahead and in the years ahead, this word, Father, that has the power to transform in many ways. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So as Paul has worked his way through this letter, as he has encouraged them early on who they are in Christ, and the supremacy of Christ in their life. And now as he has turned the corner to show us what that supremacy looks like as it is walked out. You know, the scriptures are useful in many ways. As just prayed, they sanctify us as they are truth. And but they're also, we read, that they are useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, and for training in righteousness. Now, when you train someone, you expect that training to have application in the real world. I coach a little first and second grade flag football team. And on some days, it's a great joy. On some great days, it's a great befuddlement to my mind. And we try to train these little guys so that when it comes game time, that they're ready, that they're engaged. And it's a lot of fun, and I have the boys on my team, man, you guys would love these little kids. One of them, a little boy named Sam, he's probably the littlest of the bunch, but boy, he's got some wheels on him. I mean, he's going to get caught. I mean, you know, he can break it into a seam, he can juke, he can get going, but he's going to get caught because those little legs are just churning, but somebody with longer legs is going to catch him. But he lined up on my son the other day in practice, and we were doing some pass patterns, some coverage, and he just lined up on him, and he looked up at my son and gave him a big grin and then winked his eyes at my son. You know, he's just like, "I'm ready for you." You know, he's just loving life, enjoying it. Got another little boy named Pearson. I happened to be in his neighborhood on Saturday, and I saw him over there, and he was hunting squirrels with his Red Ryder BB gun. You know, a little sixth grade boy just with the biggest grin looking for squirrels. And the little Red Ryder BB gun, it just bounced right off a squirrel probably, you know. But these little boys love them. They're great. And what we're trying to do is we're like, hey, we're going to train you in practice so that when it comes game time, man, you implement and you apply what we're teaching you. And, you know, through the season, things start coming together. And it's like, wow, great job. And Paul here, he wants us to implement in the real world. It's game time. This is what this looks like for Christ to be supreme in your life. And he talked to us, you know, earlier on in chapter 3 about really how to pursue holiness through the putting off and the putting on process. And now he's going to say, what does that holiness look like in the relationships of life, where the rubber meets the road? Because that's really the test. It's in the home that you're really tested. It's as you rub shoulders with people that you're really tested. I remember I thought I was a pretty holy guy until I got married. And then I realized, man, I got a lot of sin in my life. This woman makes me gets under my skin in ways that no of my roommates ever did, you know. And what is this? I didn't think I was like this, but the Lord was sanctifying me through these relationships and showing me the reality of my heart. And so he's saying, hey, this is where the rubber meets the road. In these relationships, as we rub shoulders with people, that's the beauty of the body of Christ. You know, people say, well, I don't need to go to church, and I don't need to. Yeah, you do, because it's in these relationships, one, that we love and care for one another, but it's in these relationships that we refine one another. And so we need one another. So what should holiness look like in the home? Well, wives are to submit to their husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. The Lord has given the husband the headship of the home. As the husband pursues Christ, that wife submits to her husband. And we see that in Ephesians. We see that here in Colossians. We see that in 1 Peter 3, where Peter talks about, hey, what is a husband and a wife? What do the roles look like? And that wife is to follow the lead of her husband, her head. And now we know it's from Scripture as well that the husband is also to submit to his head, which is Christ. So there's mutual submission going on here. And even in Ephesians 5, we read right before he says, wives, submit to your own husbands, we see Paul saying, submitting one to another. And so we care for one another, and we honor one another. And so wives, hey, submit to your husbands, and as Paul says in Ephesians, and as Peter says in 1 Peter, what does that look like? It looks like respect, that you respect your husband, that you show him the honor given to him as your head, as that authority in Christ. And all of this is so that there will be order in the home. And we all desire order in our home. Elizabeth and I, yesterday after church, we ran home, we dropped the kids off, and then we came back up to a restaurant to meet a couple for premarital counseling, and we walked through things with them, and then we went out to see a house, and then we came back to our house. Now, when we left the house, it was in order. There was no dishes everywhere. There were no clothes everywhere. There were no, just didn't like a tornado had gone through it. And I walked in, and I don't watch really a ton of TV, and I really didn't even watch much yesterday, but you know, it's nice to maybe, okay, I'm going to sit on the couch and watch this little hunting video for 10 minutes, or maybe watch some into this game. But you go in and there's dishes all over the place. There's still chicken nuggets in the toaster oven that somebody didn't even care to get out to eat. And there's spilt stuff everywhere, and there's like clothes everywhere. It's chaos. And it's like, guys, you just come in and just throw off your clothes and just let them leave on the floor. No, there's a place for everything, and everything has its place. That's what I always try to tell them. There's a place for everything. Everything has its place. Put it in its place. The place isn't in the middle of the floor where we trip over it. And nobody wants to live in a home that's chaotic. And so the Lord gives us the structure of the home. And the head of that home in that structure is the husband. And really, as a husband, as the head that carries the weight of that authority, the order of the home starts with us. And as we love our wives as Christ loved the church and give ourselves to her, as Paul talks about in Ephesians, then it is a delight for that wife to submit to that head. We're to be a head just as Christ is the head. It is a delight for us to submit to Christ because we know He has our best interest in mind. We know that He laid down His life for us. We know that He cherishes us. He nourishes us. And therefore, we also are to do likewise with our husbands. And this is what he says in 19, to our wives, I'm sorry. And this is what he says in 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And that word love there, when you look at how Christ loves his church, what does he do? He loves his church as he lays down his life for his church, as he gives himself for his church. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so if we're to love our wives, then we're to give ourselves to them. And that doesn't mean just when you're newlywed and in this this honeymoon state where it's real easy because it's just all these emotive feelings. No, it means love them where the rubber meets the road. Love them when it's tough. Love them when it's pretty difficult. Love them when you don't feel like it. Love them when you don't want to. And we had this conversation, you know, as well with that couple yesterday as we were preparing them to enter into marriage. What does love for a husband look like? What does respect for a wife look like? It's challenging. It's challenging because we want to be on the throne of our lives. But if we've been crucified with Christ and it is no longer us who live, but Christ lives within us, then we're abiding in Him and we're going to bear His fruit. And what is that fruit? It's love, showing itself through joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. 1 Corinthians 13, when he speaks of love, love is patient and kind. So we're patient and we're kind with our wives. We don't understand our wives, but Peter says, live with your wife in an understanding way, showing honor to her. And as we are patient and kind with her, we're seeking to understand her, we're showing honor to her. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. And I need to meditate on that dynamic. It is not rude. How quickly I can be just, you know, a little bit snippy with my wife or throw a little jab here, you know. And I watched a little bit of a boxing match. Came on after a football game on a Saturday night. I think it was maybe the Bama game and the Tennessee game. I was sitting there doing some reading and the game was on and a boxing match came on. And you watch those guys and I mean, they're throwing the haymakers every now and then, but what are they doing? They're doing body blows as well. And those body blows, those little jabs, boom, 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 they're just wearing each other out. And that's what we do in our marriages. Just those little jabs. They're not haymakers, but they're these little jabs. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm just wearing her down. Or she's wearing me down and wearing me out. We're not to throw those little jabs that seek to wear them out. We're to throw little jabs of love that would seek to build them up and encourage them in their time of need. And so it's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. Man, think about that. You know, as a husband, I know that I'm to lead and my wife is to submit to that leadership. But in my leadership isn't a leadership that insists on its own way. Like a little temper tantrum, you know, kid who is at the checkout counter throwing a hissy fit, insisting on their own way to get that candy, to get that toy, to get that whatever. Y'all have seen it. And it is like, my goodness, kid needs a butt whipping, you know. He doesn't need the toy. He needs a whipping and he needs to understand that life isn't about pitching a fit, insisting on your own way. We can't insist on our own way if we're to love those around us. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And love never ends. And so we are to endure with the things that might frustrate us in our homes, the things that might aggravate us, the things that might get under our skin. We're to love our wives. and not be harsh with them. Love them with the love of Christ. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That's the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. The Lord will bless those who honor Him by honoring their father and their mother. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. As a father, I'm to lovingly lead and shepherd my children. I'm not to be harsh with them. I'm not to cause them to resent my leadership. I'm not to cause them to be discouraged and therefore give up and also maybe therefore act out. But no, I'm to encourage them. I'm to build them up. I'm to challenge them and discipline them accordingly, certainly. And that's wisdom from the whole counsel of God's Word, that we discipline our children. But we discipline them even in a way that would not crush them or discourage them, but again, develop them. And so I'm going to speak to them with love and truth, because love and truth develops. And then bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Now, he includes bondservants here with rules for Christian households, because in this context, a lot of times, and there was a lot of different, there was different types of slavery in the Greco-Roman world and servants, and a lot of times people had to give themselves into servitude to pay off debts, and it would be temporary. You know, it wasn't racially a dynamic. It was, you know, we owe a debt, and I can't pay it. I'm going to give myself as a servant to this person. I might live with them. Or we might have been captured in war, and therefore our servants. There was a variety of different ways that all this played out, but in whichever way it played out, in the context of a Christian dynamic, if there was a believer who had someone who was a servant to them, and that servant was in their home, that servant, if that servant was in Christ, just like Onesimus and Philemon, well, that servant is to obey in everything those who are their earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That you live ultimately under the authority of God. And so live in such a way as that would honor God. Live in such a way and work in such a way that you're working for the Lord. And you know that the eyes of the Lord are always on you. And that's who your ultimate master is. That's who your ultimate authority is. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And now, as I walk through this, I also, this is practical application in the reality of our relationships. And even today, we can think through employee-employer relationship in that regard. That none of us in the room are probably bond servants to anyone, but we probably serve people, we've worked for people, we work with people, we are bond servants of the Lord, and we are called to serve one another. And so as we serve the Lord and as we serve one another, let's do that not to seek the applause of man, but let's do that with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord and serving in such a way that would bring glory to God. And keeping our eyes ultimately on Christ. But I want us to think about this as well with our relationship with the Lord. So, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Now, we as the church are the bride of Christ. Okay, so how do we understand that in that regard? Well, we are to submit to Christ. And it is fitting to Him. He is our head. He is our husband, and we are his bride as part of the church, so we submit to Christ, and we submit in everything to Christ. And then as he says, husbands, love your wives and not be harsh with them. We have a husband in Christ that loves us, that gives himself for us, that is not harsh with us, that is kind and compassionate, that is slow to anger, that is abounding in love. That is our Savior. That is Christ. And so we see as He shepherds us with His husbanding care. And even think about husbandry in the agricultural realm is cultivating. and is cultivating in such a way that it would abound and bear fruit. And that's what Christ does with us. He's cultivating us so that we would bear fruit. And then likewise we go and we cultivate the hearts of our wives so that they would bear fruit. And then children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. God is our Father, and we are to obey Him in everything, for this pleases Him. It is fitting to submit to Him. It is pleasing to obey Him. And then He as our Father, is not provoking us. He does not want us to be discouraged. He wants us to take courage, to be strengthened, to be strong and vibrant in Him. He wants us to be champions for His glory. He wants us to be victors who run the race in such a way as to win the prize. He wants us to be men of valor. And that's even what He would call us. Even though he understands that just like Gideon, we might feel cowardice at times. We might just want to hide at times. But what does He do? He shows up to Gideon and He says, "Oh, mighty man of valor." When you look at Gideon's circumstances, like, he's not a mighty man of valor. He's hiding. And he's threshing wheat in the wine press. That's not where you thresh wheat. You thresh wheat on the threshing floor. But no, the enemy was going to know that and show up at the threshing floor. So he's over here hiding. And he says, "Not me. I'm the least of my clan." But no, God shows up and says, "You're a mighty man of valor. You're my chosen one." And that's the Father with us. You're my chosen one. I have chosen you for a valiant purpose. Rise up. Be encouraged. Take strength. And then we know that we are His servants. He is our master. He paid a debt we could not owe. We owe a debt we cannot pay. He saves us. We give ourselves to Him. And we are to, again, obey Him in everything. Not by way of eye service. Not just lip service. Not just as people please. Oh, let people see me doing this. No, but with a sincere heart. Fearing Him. Fearing Him, meaning we stand in appreciation and awe of Him. And we have a heart that longs to honor Him. And we work heartily for Him. We're not lazy in our labor for Christ. But we're diligent. And we're committed. And we're engaged. And we're not shrinking back. No, we are men who have put our hand to the plow and we're not looking back. We're going forward in the fields that He has called us to, and abiding in Him, bearing His fruit, laboring for Him, and laboring so diligently, faithfully, with excellence, with zeal, not being lazy, but doing it heartily, doing it for Him, and knowing that whether the labor is toilsome, whether it's difficult, whether we don't see fruit, whether we don't see a harvest, well, ultimately one day there will be an inheritance. And He has sealed that inheritance. He has promised that inheritance. There is a reward for those who labor for the Lord. Those who labor for the Lord do not labor in vain. We are serving the Lord Christ. And then verse 25, "For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." So we, if we are an employer, if we do have those who serve us in whatever way, I would even say, hey, if it's a waitress, she's serving you, or he's serving you, a waiter serving you. If it's a checkout somebody, they're serving you. Somebody who's serving you as you've gone out, well, treat them justly and fairly. challenging the masters of those servants here to treat people justly and fairly. And on the flip side, as the Lord is our master, He treats us justly and fairly. He doesn't show any partiality. He is a loving, caring, just, fair, encouraging master, father, husband. He's cultivating us. He's caring for us. And as we see how He engages with us, then we are challenged and encouraged to go and engage with other people in the same manner. As He forgives us, then we forgive them. As He loves us and lays down His life for us, then we do the same thing. And we have Christ within us. So we can do that. We can do that. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world, and greater is He who is in us than us. He strengthens us. He empowers us to go and to live according to His word in the relationships that we have. And so as you think about those relationships that you are going to engage with this week, whether it be your wife, whether it be a neighbor, whether it be your children, whether it be your grandchildren, whether it be someone who serves you along life's journey this week. Think about how you're going to engage them. Think about how you're going to interact with them. Think about how what you're going to say to them. And as Christ does to you, so Paul would say, now go and do with them. Now go and do with them. Let me pray for us and give you guys time at the table. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for how, Lord, you don't just kind of give us some doctrinal truth and then say, I'll figure it out. And you say, hey, guys, here's it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you say, hey, here's how you do it. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for showing us that this is how you do it. This is how you walk it out. This is how you live in relationship to people. Jesus, not only thank you for showing us how in your word, but thank you for empowering us to do so. And I just pray for your grace. I pray for your grace for me. I know that I can get so caught up in just the world and the day-to-day activity that I just kind of overlook things with people, and especially even those closest to me sometimes. Lord, I don't tune my heart and my ears to listen to them. I'm just kind of off my own world thinking about things I need to think about. But Lord, help me, help us all to love our families and to lay down our lives for our families and to shepherd them in such a way that they would be drawn to you, that they would desire you, that they would see you in us in such a magnificent, glorious way that they would desire you. Not only our families, but those we engage in life with, those that come alongside us and whom we come along as well. God, give us encouragement and conversation at the table now, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.